From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the show, folks. This is the time that you have been waiting for, and quite honestly, so have us. So if we, Anyway, training camp is officially back. Rookies, quarterbacks, coaches showed up. We have a lot of information to talk about, initial impressions and how this thing is starting off. And we are lucky enough, Matt Derrick is back with us from Chiefs Digest. First-hand information, and I'm particularly interested in a couple of things that we're going to talk to Matt about. And we just want to let you know that we're going to go through day by day, week by week, as we go through camp, all kinds of information, both on the web, on the pod, on the video. Make sure you check them all out. All the links will be in the show notes. We appreciate you checking that out. And Matt, how are you?
Not too bad. First day was pretty nice. Weather-wise, not too bad. Survived it. My phone did overheat. I got a warning from my iPhone that said it had to cool down, which I've never got that error message before. So apparently you shouldn't be shooting a lot of video in the sun.
Yeah, right. No
apparently
direct
not a good
sunlight.
Thing. Not a good thing for the iPhone. But other than that, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good first day as far as just, you know, everybody getting their feet wet and getting in the camp and settled in and everything like that. And then Monday, we'll all start for real.
Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, with the way that the weather has been the last few weeks, I've been very nervous about this camp. It's going to be, you know, 90 degrees every single morning and everything, but pretty mild today. Forecast looks pretty good, although it looks like there's some rain, you know, possibly in the horizon and everything. So we will see. But yeah, I mean, it's be good just the next few days to be able to see the rookies and see them kind of settle in and what's going on. And then, you know, when they really started for real on Thursday.
Well, and then you have also injured players reporting as well. I saw Spencer Ware was there. Were there any other guys that you saw that were there because of injury?
Ware was, I think, really the only one that I saw coming in. You know, a lot of the guys, I think, probably came in a little bit early, report in. The players have learned over the years that if they come in early, they don't kind of have to go through the perp walk of walking past the media and everything. So if they want to avoid us, you just got to get there early and you don't have to deal with everybody. So, yeah, Spencer Ware was there with his daughter. Very adorable, you know, walking up from the car and everything like that. And then they went back out for another walk later and everything. The real interesting thing, though, was Andy Reid talking about the injuries and saying that, you know, really DeAnthony Thomas and Ashton Lampkin are the only two guys that they've got on their radar right now of maybe being held back as the beginning of practice starts. Was asked specifically about Mitch Morse and Ford and the rest of the guys, and he said, yeah, everybody else should be good to go. I still am going to put an asterisk next to it until we see it, just because, hey, you know, the Chiefs can be some cagey with injury sometimes. You know, maybe we will find out on Thursday that maybe there will be somebody who's not going to be ready to go. Maybe they're going to hold out for practices. But what we heard today, I mean, I would be surprised at this point if they said that there's, you know, anyone outside of those two guys that might be pup list candidates or anything like that. So that's a good sign. And I think that's definitely a good sign for Ware and for Dee Ford and Mitch Morse, who are those three of the guys that really we didn't get to see too much of during training for during offseason workouts. Chris Conley, I don't think there was any doubt he was going to be ready. I mean, I think they're still going to limit him a little bit. And all of these guys might be candidates for working in slowly. I mean, maybe they're going to be taking some days off, or maybe they'll be taking some drills off. But if they're going into camp starting with just two guys kind of on their radar of not being on the field, that's pretty good shape to be in right now.
Yeah, it's kind of rarefied air. Now, when you mean ready, like you said, they could be held out. Could they also be guys that are working on the sidelines with the training staff, still doing work, but not necessarily practicing?
They absolutely could. I mean, you know, normally if they're not ready at all, that would be kind of a, you know, a pup list candidate. We've seen them put some guys on the pup list before who will then maybe, you know, appear to be riding on the bike on the sideline or anything like that. So it certainly could be. I mean, you know, Reed's comments today definitely suggested and gave the indication that maybe we won't see much of that these guys are pretty good to go. But they are the Chiefs, once again, they're very cautious with injuries, so it would not surprise me that maybe these are guys who are, you know, going to work through drills first before they, you know, for a few practices before they start doing team drills and organize activities. You know, maybe it's they'll give them some days off here and there. It's certainly, like with Conley, wouldn't surprise me if he got a day off or two just to allow him to rest. All those guys are candidates for that, so we'll see. But yeah, I really that's why I want to say that, you know, that they're going to be ready to some degree is what they're saying. I don't think that, you know, 88 guys are going to be 100% ready to go. I think they're still going to be working some of them in, but I think they seem at this point maybe some better shape than they've been in past years going into training camp.
Well, I mean, you look at a guy like DeAnthony Thomas who got injured late in the year, basically the Denver game, right? So that was late, the beginning of January, broke his leg. You have Ashton Lampkin, which, remind me if I'm wrong, but it was a torn ACL last year, right?
Yeah, it was an ACL, and we never really got a good read on how, you know, serious it was, if there was more than the ACL involved. I kind of figured that since he was injured last August that he'd be pretty close to 100% by now. So maybe there was a little bit more damage in there than we know about. But yeah, it was an ACL.
Well, and that's kind of interesting to me, because wasn't it Eli Rogers supposedly was coming in for a visit today? On Sunday, because we're recording this on Sunday. So wasn't he coming in today, and he tore his ACL in January?
Yeah, he was supposedly doing a workout. I think he did that this morning. So have not heard yet, as of the time that we're talking and everything, about whether or not that they've signed him or doing anything with him at this point. But yeah, it's ACLs are they're like everything else. The recovery times can range from one player to the next. Right. One guy, maybe it's 6 months. Maybe another guy, it's a year.
Now, if I remember, Lampkin was participating in OTAs fairly well, right?
Yeah, Lampkin. Yes, he did. He was going through OTAs. I don't know that we saw him on the field. I think they were holding him out of teamwork and everything like that. But yeah, we did see him during off-season workouts.
Okay, and Rogers, that's an interesting pickup if they do make that. In my opinion, not only because of the injury, because yeah, it's a rushed. It's a pretty remarkable recovery, actually. But a guy that is at a position that seems to be flooded with talent on this roster right now. And do you see that maybe they're hedging their bets against something?
Well, you know, Brett Veach is the kind of guy that, I mean, he's certainly always going to kick the tires on an opportunity to get some value. So that does not surprise me. I mean, in the sense that if somebody's available for a good number that they can get and maybe think that they can get some value out of and can some competition, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think they would love to have a little bit more, you know, competitive depth there and everything. I mean, I kind of like what they have with some of their players, but, you know, let's face it, after you get past Chris Conley, the production that they've gotten from anybody, nobody's proven. You know, even DeMarcus Robinson, I don't think you can really say is a proven threat as, you know, a third wide receiver yet. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if Brett Veach can get somebody in here who thinks they can compete for a job and it's a good number, he's going to do it.
Well, and then the other person that really kind of broke over the weekend is that Rashad Breeland could be coming in for visits, Tuesday?
Yeah, that's apparently the word. Going to be going to Oakland on Sunday and Monday, and then Kansas City on Tuesday. Kind of interesting. I mean, I did not expect that maybe the Chiefs would end up having some interest in him. I think it certainly speaks to where the number is, because I think that he was going to have to drop as far as value wise. But the fact that, you know, maybe it's really just the Raiders and the Chiefs that are showing some interest, it looks like there's still some concerns. I know that they're saying that the injury is clear and that, you know, that led to the contract being voided earlier, but I think you still have to have some concerns about that. And, you know, just how much he's ready to go this year. And I still have questions about, you know, as far as the Chiefs bringing another corner with, you know, that they've got some young guys that they want to take a look at. And I think, you know, bringing in another veteran, I think you're either saying that there's one of these guys, that's one of these young guys that maybe isn't going to have a home, or, you know, you're really going to stunt their growth this year.
Yeah, hedge your bets. And again, aggressively trying to shore up every last position he can on the roster, right?
Yeah, and I think hedging the bet there really is probably the key operative word there, because I think you're bringing in somebody like Breeland, then you are saying, hey, we're just being prepared in case none of these young guys work out. And, you know, we do need to have some depth there. But once again, it does pose some lineup questions. You know, I mean, he played a lot of right corner the last few years for Washington, and I don't think that, you know, you're looking at maybe Steven Nelson moving over to the left side. I don't think that's really in the Chiefs' plans. So, you know, who would be making the move over to left? Or is this, you know, are they just really viewing him as maybe a nickel or a dime contributor and everything like that? So, you know, there's some questions there, but you're right. I mean, I think it would be just kind of a hedge against, you know, maybe some of these young guys not panning out and just making sure that you're protected either way.
Well, I think the thing I would like about it is, of all the positions on the roster, to go out and find a guy that can contribute, corner is the one that I would like the most. So getting a guy like him would be, in my mind, a very good thing for them, because they definitely need depth at corner.
Well, Brett Veach subscribes to the old adage and everything, that you can't have enough guys who can cover. I mean, and he's not afraid, you know, to have 18, 19 cornerbacks in camp and see who can get the job done. So it really wouldn't surprise me at all for them to bring in him or somebody else and everything that maybe is a veteran, or maybe that they just churn some of those spots looking for some young guys who, you know, might be candidates for the practice squad even down the road.
And we'll keep our eyes out for that. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, what else might be a surprise and how everybody's feeling as they roll into camp. So I know you were there and you heard from Andy, and it, what I've seen of Andy Reid's comments the day that camp opens, is giddy an understatement?
Probably about as giddy as Andy Reid gets. I mean, you know, we're not talking about the giddiest guy on the planet here, you know, but you know, I will say this. I mean, you know, I think really since the end of the season and everything, I mean, I do feel like that the Andy Reid that we've seen has been one of the more jovial, excited Andy Reids that we've seen in a while. I mean, I think he's, and you know, and I think some people are going to take that, you know, the idea that he's just really excited about the offense and how many points he can score and everything like this. I'm still going to take it a different way. I think it's the teacher in Andy Reid. He's a coach. You know, what he really likes to do is to teach. And, you know, and I think to a degree, even with, you know, just having Alex Smith the last few years, he hasn't had a chance to do a lot of that. And we're not even just talking about the quarterback position or even the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he talked about it quite a bit today about just the newness of this team being what excites him. And he's got a lot of guys at a lot of different positions that he gets to teach his offense to, and he gets to coach up. He's going to have a lot of young guys on this team, and that's what Andy Reid gets excited about. So, you know, I read less into it as just about being specifically about Mahomes, and really just reading more into it about this offense and the team in general, that he likes the idea of having a new team with a bunch of new guys that he gets to teach his offense to and coach up.
Well, and one of the new guys, and we're not going to talk about him too much today, but Sammy Watkins is going to be one of those new weapons that he gets to teach on the offensive side of the ball, and he's still a young guy at 24 years old. I really do think that is going to add a lot of credence to what Reid is able to do offensively, and really gives Patrick Mahomes quite a group of weapons when it comes to who he's going to be able to throw the ball to.
Yeah, I mean, there should not be a weak link as far as the weapons go. I mean, if there's somebody that's having a bad day or somebody gets banged up, you know, you really shouldn't be in a position where you're hurting for options, you know. So at least Mahomes has got that to lean on this year. And yeah, I mean, you know, and Andy Reid was asked about it, you know, with these, you know, these options and everything like that, and the choices that he's got, you know, did he spend the off season in the summer drawing up plays on a napkin and everything? And, you know, I'm sure there was quite a bit of that too. I mean, you know, he talked about how he's always thinking about it. I mean, Andy Reid is always trying to think of something new and different to do. So I'm sure that with the options and the players that he has this year, I think we're probably going to see a few wrinkles, whether they're just, you know, gimmick plays, you want to call them, for these one-offs and everything like that, or there's just you know, a systemic change that he's going to put into the offense that he can do because of the talent that he's got. You know, I'm really interested to see what happens.
Well, and similarly, the guy that he's got to be, while he can be excited about the whole team, the guy that's got to be focused on is the young quarterback. And I know Mahomes had some comments today as well, and he seemed fairly low key, but quietly confident as far as I could tell as well.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if it's necessarily a big change, but, and I know that this might not be what fans want to hear, but I think that what we heard from Patrick Mahomes today is exactly what you want to hear from your starting quarterback, which is, you know, and I asked him what he really wanted to get done during this training camp, and he said he wanted to be more efficient. He, you know, he wants to get in and out of the huddle faster. He wants to just be more efficient with his choices. And he talked quite a bit several times about, you know, the fact that at this level and against these defenses, you can't be going for the home run ball every single time. You know, you've got to take what the defense gives you. You've got to, you know, you got to move the football. You've just got to be strategic about it. And that's something that I don't know if I've seen a media session with Mahomes where he really talked about that as much in depth in the past, where he really, it seemed like, was hammering away on a lot of different answers, just talking about that. Yeah, there's a balance between being aggressive and going deep, but that's not what you're doing most of the time, you know, and to be able to take advantage of the deep ball and to be able to take advantage of the speed guys that you have, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of short stuff. I mean, you're going to have to do a lot of things that is just setting up the defense to make those plays work. And whether that's just something that he worked on and studied during this break, or it's just a, you know, an accumulation of it happening, I feel like we heard a lot more of that from Mahomes than we've heard in the past.
So what you're trying to tell everybody is don't expect air raid offense.
That's what I think I'm kind of trying to say, which I know is what nobody wants to hear. But I think if you want to see winning football, I think that's what you want to hear. I mean, I think you want to, you know, you want your quarterback to be able to go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to do the things that I need to do to set the defense. And if that means I'm going to, you know, take five or six plays of play action or run or short passes and everything like that, and then go deep to Watkins, I think that's going to work. You know, I don't think you can go deep on every single play and expect that to work. To me, it seems like Mahomes is at least thinking and talking more strategically than I think we've heard him speak in the past.
Well, that's good to see too. And with these particular guys, I think as it shakes out, really, like you said, setting up is what you're doing the majority of the time in order to take those deep strikes. But Kareem Hunt's had a pretty quiet offseason. I know we didn't see him today, but just in general, I know the two of them are close, Mahomes and Hunt. And do you think that Hunt's in for a year where he's going to share the load more, or that he's going to be relied on even more to be that kind of go-to guy to protect Holmes both running and, you know, in the pass protection sets?
You know, I think it's really interesting because, you know, I think we saw last year with that rookie year, you know, we saw that there was a little bit of a lull with Kareem Hunt kind of in the middle of the season. And I think it's still, you know, too hard to, you know, whether you would just you chalked it up to the freshman wall or if it's really, you know, it was more to do with the offense and everything. But I think with the talent that they have put together at running back, I mean, I think it screams that, you know, that they still want to be fairly diverse there. They don't want to necessarily have a, you know, a featured back that they lean on for, you know, to do the bulk of the work. I mean, they've got players there who are specialists in a lot of areas. I mean, they've got some guys who are good blockers. They've got some guys who are, you know, maybe a little bit more pounders. They've got guys who can catch the ball. So I think it's hard to say that, you know, with the talent that they've compiled, at least the numbers they've compiled at running back, it doesn't say to me that they're thinking that, you know, that they can just roll Kareem Hunt out there for 350 carries and 80 catches and that'd be done. I think they want to limit his workload a little bit less than that. And I think they've got some guys that can maybe take that load off him a little bit.
Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back. So we focused a lot about the offense for the first part of this podcast. Everybody loves to talk about the offense except for Ryan, but we should talk about the defense a little bit. You're looking at Dee Ford coming back, and obviously he's not there. He didn't report yet, so that's a good sign for the Chiefs. But to me, it's going to be interesting to see what Speaks is able to do and the new defensive guys that they added in the draft this year.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, I wasn't even thinking about, you know, when Andy Reid was rattling off the positions that they, you know, lost this year, and he was talking about outside linebacker, and I'm like, well, you got Houston back, you got Ford healthy, you know, what are we talking about? And you're like, oh, well, they don't have Tomba anymore. That's the big one that they're talking about, but they've got a lot of numbers there, and I think that once again we talked about hedging your bets earlier. I think that that's a lot of what they've done at outside linebacker. I mean, I think they have hedged their bets, and a lot of that was with some of the young guys. I mean, we do want to see what we got with Breland Speaks, and you want to see what you got with Tano Passanio. I'm really curious with, you know, the four edge rushers they've got and, you know, Frank Zombo, how that wall works together. And if you can keep five outside linebackers, you know, that's, you start to run into a little bit of a numbers game there, but we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think still a lot of this defense is going to be predicated on if they can get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, it's going to be the two best guys that they've got. And if D Ford can prove that he's back to one of those guys, and, you know, Breland Speaks and Tano Passanio can be situational type players, I mean, I think that's your dream come true. But we got to see it. I mean, I think we're a long way from knowing exactly where they are as far as that edge rush group goes.
Well, and it's not the only position. And one of the guys that I'm really keen to see get the pads on and be used more spoke today in Dorian Daniel. And the thing that struck me about his comments was how plain he was to say that he was happy to be in Kansas City because the Chiefs had a plan for him. And they clearly have a plan for him. And to hear him talk, what's the role that you expect him to play?
Well, I think he hit it. I mean, it's to be a guy that can cover tight ends and running backs and be a blitzer in sub packages. I mean, that's what he did in college, and that's what he's really good at. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is a good sign that, you know, the Chiefs have a specific plan for him. And, I think obviously they'd have to have some injuries before Dorian Daniel becomes a full-time player this year. But is he one of those guys who might play 30% of snaps in 1 week and 55% snaps, you know, next week? Yeah, I mean, I think he could be that. His playing time is really going to vary by, you know, the teams that they go up against and what kind of packages they're facing. But you're right. I mean, he has a very specific skill set, and they've called him a chess player from day one. And all indications are that's how they plan to use him, is, you know, in some very specific situations. And he's the kind of player that I think can be really effective in that role.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. He's one of the guys that I'm thinking can be one of the upgrades over what they tried to use with other players in the same type of role in 2017.
Yeah, you know, I go back to last year a lot about training camp. And, you know, one of the things was that, you know, inside, Bob Sutton was, it seemed like every single day, trying to run two different guys out there at inside linebacker. And that should have been probably the clue to us that the defense was going to struggle last year when, in, you know, August, they had absolutely no idea who their inside linebackers were going to be. And, you know, by the end of the season, I mean, you know, obviously Reggie Ragland was the guy that was back there most of the time. It wasn't even on the team, you know, in part of August and everything. So, you know, that probably should have been a clue right there. But this year, I mean, they're going in, you know, inside with, I think, all their positions ironed out. I mean, you know, there's a little bit of competition for maybe a couple of backup roles, but you know who your starters are going to be. You know who your third linebacker or your situational backer is going to be with O'Daniel. To me, it seems like they're in such better shape at that position than they were a year ago.
Do you think that the defensive line, you know who the starters are right now?
Yeah, I mean, unless anything drastically changes, I mean, I think it is. It's going to be Alan Bailey. It's going to be Chris Jones and Xavier Williams with Derek Naughty being the next guy up, especially inside. I'm assuming that Jarvis Jenkins is still going to make this team. And, you know, maybe he's kind of one of those players situationally that works out pretty well. Maybe some of their two-man fronts that they do. He played pretty well in that role last year. That group doesn't seem to be as competitive to me. And I think there's a little bit of a drop-off as they go with the roster too. So that's probably one of the positions that I don't necessarily see a huge amount of competition, but I think it still remains to be proven if that lineup is how much of an upgrade it is from what they rolled out there last year.
Well, I think we'll see what happens as they get rolling. A couple of days till everybody's in camp, and we'll make sure that we check back with Matt as he's the man on the scene. So keep your eye open for that, folks. Matt, thanks for being with us tonight. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always great catching up with you guys, and we'll try and do it more throughout camp.
And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Have an eye out for that, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.